Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many are thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus? Thankful for the blood of Calvary, that ultimate supreme sacrifice that he made for you and me, not because we deserve it. Yeah, thank God we don't get what we deserve, right? But his mercy and his love reaches to us. Arms of compassion wrap around us. His grace holds us up, empowers us. His angels go before us to prepare the way, and to make a way where there seems to be no way sometimes. How many is thankful for the blood of Calvary, for the mercy of Jesus this morning on a Sunday morning? Praise God. Read a couple of scriptures and we'll let you be seated. Pastor is ministering in Napa this morning for Pastor Bledsoe up there, so let's keep them in your prayers, and hopefully they had a couple of days of rest and respite as well. I believe they left Thursday morning and they'll be back in town tomorrow. And his wish is always that when he's gone that we have church. So I'm thankful that you're here this morning and thankful for your worship and your praise. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And so you are partially responsible for the presence of the Lord that we feel here this morning. Your worship and your praise, especially when we don't feel like it. Because we're honest and with each other this morning, you know, sometimes we come to church and it might be hard to worship and it might be hard to praise because, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all those other days of the week come too. Every day is not Sunday. And so sometimes when we get to the house of the Lord, it just kind of seems like we kind of slide in the door and it's a struggle to get here. But I'm thankful that you made that sacrifice this morning, and I believe that God is going to bless you in his word. Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. And verse 23, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, I'll read one scripture there, and then we'll go to Luke chapter 8, and verse 50. Mark 9 and 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. Well, we could just stay right there with that this morning. All things are possible. If we can just believe. Let's go to Luke chapter 8 and verse 50. When Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. So I want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments on choosing to believe. Choosing to believe. Would you help me ask the Lord's blessing on us this morning? Jesus, thank you for your word. Your word is blessed. Your word is anointed. God, we pray that your word would come alive to us today, Lord, that you would speak through your servant. God, that you would, our ears would be open and attentive to you today, Lord, that we would not just hear the words, but we would hear your spirit and your word speaking directly to us, into our lives, into our situations. God, and we believe this. We choose to believe it in the name of Jesus. And the church says amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. God is still the healer. Amen. He's still our provider. He's still whatever we need him to be. God is still all of that. And you know, sometimes preachers come up and evangelists come up and missionaries come up, and we've had some tremendous ones recently. Brother Cornejo and Brother Dross, two that come to mind, that are great faith speakers, and they inspire our faith because they relay stories to us of what God has done elsewhere and how he healed people and how he provided in miraculous ways, and talk about how they see people that have one leg shorter than the other, and God heals them, and that leg, you know, lengthens out and it's the same length as the other, and somebody's blind and they get prayed for, and their eyes are open and they see perhaps for the very first time, and they're tremendous faith building messages, and we get excited about them. How many like to hear of what God is doing somewhere else? It's exciting. And so we're full of faith in that service when that preaching is coming forth. And then Monday comes and Tuesday. And it can be that then it's easy to begin to question and begin to doubt and not only doubt what God is doing elsewhere, but to doubt ourselves and say, well, if God is doing that for them, what about me, Lord? You know, I'm still here, and I'm still in need. And so what I want us to see in the word of the Lord this morning is that even though doubt can sneak in and unbelief can creep in and chip away at our faith and chip away at what the word of God and the power of God and the spirit of God leads us to, we can choose to believe. And the scripture says that when we believe, anything is possible to those that believe. And so I hope you leave here this morning binding the devil and binding your flesh and every trick of the enemy that would seek to steal your joy and to steal your faith and steal your unbelief, that you bind that up in a little box and just flush it down the toilet. Amen? Because he's still a healer. He's still the healer. He's still the strong Rophi, the scripture calls him, the healing one of glory. He's still Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Amen. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still bigger than your problem. He's still bigger than your circumstances, than your situation, whatever it might be. In James chapter 1, we'll read verses 2 through 8. James is kind of, I think, addressing this thought, this vein that we're in this morning. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." None of us are ever going to be perfect. That word better interpreted is that we would be spiritually mature in God, wanting nothing. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." That means upbraideth not. That means God isn't choosing that brother Angel is more deserving than his favor than I am. No, if you ask God, believing God, he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, though, says, "Let him ask in faith, not wavering." You know, wavering is when you ever walked on the top of a fence post when you were a kid and you know, you kind of lose your balance. That's wavering. This says, don't waver. Ask in faith, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed about. Verse 7 says, "For let not that man think that he's going to receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So we don't want to be double-minded. We want to have the Sunday faith on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and all through the week. Your Sunday faith should carry you all week. And if we're depending just upon an hour in church on Sunday morning to do that, then that's where we get into trouble, because we've got to renew that faith on a daily basis. The Bible says, "Stir up the faith that is within you." And so we do that through reading the word. We do that from, you know, carving out some alone time with us and the Lord and making sure that we're stirring up that faith. Sometimes God is trying to teach you patience. And that's why you don't get the Sunday morning miracle on Monday morning. You know, sometimes it doesn't come just like that. It doesn't mean God didn't hear you. It doesn't mean that he's not working in your life. It doesn't mean he doesn't know right where you're at. Most of you probably know one of my favorite scriptures in 2 Chronicles, "The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." And I rehearse that in my mind frequently, because it reminds me, if I focus on keeping my heart perfect toward him, he's looking out for me. I've got the favor of God upon my life. There's a lot of things that a lot of people worry about and stress about, and I don't need to worry about and stress about. I just got to worry about keeping my faith in God, seeking him, living for him, having a perfect heart toward him. And if I am putting my effort and my energies into doing that, God's looking to show himself, man, I like show himself strong. God wants to show himself strong for you. And he knows what tomorrow, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen next week. He knows. And he's already looking ahead. He's already there. He's already got it worked out. And he's looking to see what he can do for you. And he's the God of all creation. What can he do for you? He can do anything for you if you believe. He can do it. There's no limit. There's no limitations to God. He is bigger than all of your problems. He is bigger then all of your circumstances, the mountains of unbelief and mountains of doubt and mountains of fear and insecurity, and he's bigger than all of that. He's bigger than all of that. We just got to put our faith and our trust in him. King David, a great example in Scripture of someone that we think of as a mighty, mighty man of God and man of faith, and he was, but he struggled with his faith sometimes, just as we do. In Psalms chapter 73, or they're not chapters, as theologians tell us, they are psalms. So in the 73rd Psalm, verse 1 says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me," David said, "my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." He was discouraged. He was discouraged. You know, he was, you ever felt that way? Just, man, things not going right. Monday's coming. There's decisions to make. There's fears. There's insecurities. There's money problems. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, he said in verse 2. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So here he is trying to live for God and trying to do right, because he knows if he keeps his heart right, then God's working on his behalf, right? And he's trying to do everything right and be pleasing to the Lord. And he looks out at those. It's easy to look at other people. You got to take your eyes off of God to look at other people. And so he was looking at other people and saying, they're not even trying to live for God. I know things about them. Maybe God can't see what I can see, you know, surely or not. Or he wouldn't be blessing them the way he's blessing them. Because in our humanity, we often think that money is, money is not always a blessing. Money can be a curse. And so we often think that if there's material blessings, and that's the blessing of God. Well, no, sometimes it's because somebody worked hard, you know, and put some effort, and maybe they inherited some money, you know, maybe they didn't do anything of their own effort to do it. And we think that's not the blessings of God. The scripture says the blessings of God bring no problems. They bring no fear. They bring no insecurities. And you talk to anybody that has a little money and you'll know you'll still have problems. You know, we think if we had a couple of $100 more, or a couple of thousand, or a couple of $100,000 more, we'd have fewer problems. No, might be different problems, but you're still going to have problems. You're still going to have problems. But you know what? Your God is still going to be bigger than those problems. Your God is still going to be bigger than any circumstance that you might be. And so David had gotten sidetracked. He's got his eyes on people, and he's saying, well, look at them. You know, they're being blessed, and they're not even trying to live right. And we're not going to take the time to read all of, but it's a great chapter, 73. Psalm 73, you should read it on your own. And then we get to verse 16 of Psalm 73. And he says, when I thought to know this, when I meditated upon these inequities, these seemingly inequities, life is not fair. How many know life is not fair? You know, God never promised it was going to be fair by how we define fair. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It just hurt me. Verse 17, though, and here's where it is. It says, until I went into the sanctuary. Until I went to church, until I got into the presence of God. And you don't have to go to church to be in the presence of God. But what he's talking about is when I got, you know, it's easier to get into the presence of God in church. There's less distractions. You know, you don't have a big screen in church. Well, we got one, but it's not quite the same as what you and I think of as a big. There's not as many distractions when you come to church. It's easier to worship God when you got a few others to help you worship. It's easier to enter into the presence of the Lord when, you know, you got somebody that runs a lap when you want to, but you never would because, you know, for whatever reason. Yeah? And so it's easier to worship when others worshiping. It's easier to enter into the presence of God. So I am thankful for each and every one of you that come to the house of God. I'm thankful for our praise singers, for our musicians that are endeavoring. They're not up here just because they enjoy playing, and I hope they do. They're not up here just because they like to sing, and I hope they do like to sing, but they're up here to give it unto the Lord, to worship unto the Lord, to help us enter into that atmosphere of worship and that atmosphere of praise so that our internal defenses kind of, you know, because when we get here, we're not always, you know, who knows where we came from. And we build up these walls in our mind and in our spirit. And it's our worship when we begin to focus on the Lord that those barriers can begin to drop and our heart can begin to open up and the Lord can begin to soften our heart and soften our spirit so that when the word comes, because God always has a word for you. God always has a word for you. But we've got to be open and yielded. The words, the seed's always good, Pastor says. But there's got to be good ground. And so we want to soften up that ground, soften up that stony heart of ours so that when the word comes forth, God can speak to us and minister to us. And so David says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. So David got sidetracked by the world. He got sidetracked by the problems of life. And there's always problems. You know, it just looks like the person behind you don't have problems. They got problems too. You know, they may just not be as vocal about them as you are. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got situations. Everybody's got fears and insecurities. And the scripture says his faith wavered when he began to look at how the ungodly prospered, where people that aren't even right seemingly were being blessed. And it took David a few moments. You know, when you use that term now, a few minutes. He was there a few minutes. But the scripture doesn't always give us the context of how long that actually was, that the psalmist was in the doldrums and he was afraid and fearful and depressed and discouraged. But there came a time, however long that was, when he found himself in the presence of God, where it just seemed like maybe he was at his wit's end and maybe he just poured himself out to the Lord more honestly than ever had before. And he found himself in this atmosphere of Holy Ghost, if we could say that, an atmosphere of the Spirit. And I can imagine him being in the tabernacle, and they're singing a psalm, and they're praising God. And maybe in his mind, because you know when you sing and you praise, you're not always thinking about the words, right? Sometimes you're thinking about work. You're thinking about your problem. You're thinking about work. You're thinking about circumstances. And I can imagine he was much that way, the psalmist. And then it just seems like, you know, he opened his eyes, and I don't know what he saw. Maybe he saw his children worshiping God. I don't know what he saw. Maybe he looked over and he saw his wife with her hands lifted to the Lord. Maybe he thought back to when God healed him. You know, because the devil will steal our memories of what God has done for us in times past. In the discouraging times, in the times of trouble and trials and tribulation, you will think that God has forgotten you and he's never been there for you. Maybe he remembered that morning of something that God had done for him in times past. When it looked like there was no answer and he didn't know where to go, didn't know where the answer was going to come from, didn't know how the situation was going to be resolved, and God came through for him that time. He found himself in the presence of the Lord, and he said, and then I understood their end. His eyes were open that I God's got to take care of them. I just got to take care of me, and God, you've been good to me. God, you've been merciful to me. God, if you never did anything else for me again, you've been good to me, Lord. You've been good to me. I could just stand and praise and worship you for all the rest of my days without being able to give you all the praise and thanksgiving that you are worthy and that you do. Until he went to the sanctuary, until he got into the presence of the Lord, then his eyes were open. I'm so thankful for the presence of God that we have available to us. You can get in the presence of the Lord, whether it's in church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Bible study with a couple of other people or just you in your car. You can get into the presence of God. And oftentimes, the easiest way to do that is by thinking back to the blessings that he's given you. Thinking back, you know, get your mind off of your problems. They're still going to be there. But remind yourself of how he has showed himself strong for you time and time and time again. And if your focus is on living for him and worshiping him and praising him and endeavoring to have your heart right toward him, he's looking to show himself strong for you. He's going to take care of that stuff. He's going to work it all out. You don't got to figure it all out. You don't got to know what comes tomorrow. You just got to know who holds tomorrow in his hands. Amen? And that ought to make you be able to praise him and worship him regardless of the circumstances in your life. Regardless of what's going on in your family, regardless of your business, regardless of your work, you can worship him You can praise him. You can lift your hands to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, knowing that he knows right where you're at. And he knows what's coming tomorrow. And he's got it all under control. Because he's bigger than all of that. He's bigger than all of the circumstances. It took David a few minutes, however long that might be. I pray that when I'm in that situation, it doesn't take me weeks and months and years, because it can. A few moments is a loose term. We don't know exactly how long it took for the 73rd Psalms to play out. But I hope that I can put myself into that atmosphere of worship, that atmosphere of praise on such a regular basis that I never get and allow myself to drift so far away from the presence of God that my thinking becomes diluted, that my thinking becomes, that my focus comes off of God and just upon the situation and the circumstances and the things around me. God, never let me forget just how well off I am just because I know you. Just because I know that you are looking out for me. When you see your children worshiping, when you see your family doing right and making good decisions, all of those things should cause you to remember and reflect and meditate upon the goodness and the mercy of God. Just keep believing. You got to believe in the face of doubt, in the face of insecurity, in the face of fear, in the face of circumstances. You got to keep believing. You got to remind yourself that God is in control. Amen?
Amen.
Rebuke the spirit of doubt. Get your eyes off the circumstances. Get your eyes refocused upon Almighty God. Too often, we let our circumstances define who God is and who we allow God to be in our life. Everything's going good, then it's easy to believe that he's a big God and he can take care of anything that comes your way. But when the big problems come, does that make God less big just because we have what seems like a big situation in our life? No, he's still bigger than that. He's not just the God of the good times. And the God of when everything's smooth and everything's peaceful and everything, you know, there's no rockiness in our life. He's not just the God of that time. He's the God of all times.
Amen.
And he's still bigger than whatever the situation is. Don't spend so much time talking about your problem and thinking about your problem. Talk about God.
That's right.
And about how big he is and how he's going to take care of it. Because you know he is. You know he can. He's done it before. And his word said, if we just believe, all things are possible to those that believe.
That's right.
So don't spend a lot of time on the problem. Don't spend a lot of time on trying to figure it all out.
Right.
That's like an exercise in frustration.
Yeah.
You know? You just how can I get all wrapped up in this? How can I spend all of my day trying to figure this out? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You say, oh, you don't know my problem. Well, I don't. But I got my own. They don't matter. God's got them worked out.
Yes, he
He's got it figured out. You just got to believe. You got to give it to him. You got to put your trust and your faith and your hope in him. He's bigger. You think he's not bigger than that problem?
Yes.
You think he's not bigger than that circumstance? How foolish of us. How carnal of us. It's our humanity. I'm not putting you down because we're all humanity. He's bigger than all of that, though. He's bigger. He's bigger. He's greater. He's more powerful. There's nothing he cannot do. And he wants to do it. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. We got to give it to him. Some of us have control issues. You don't have to raise your hand. There'd be a lot of hands up. My wife would be raising mine up for me. We want to figure it out, you know, and think about it. We want to overthink it. There's a term. We want to overthink it. What are all the possible outcomes and the pros and the cons of each one? And then we just, man, angst and consternation and fear, and we can't get anything else done because we got this pressing thing. What a waste of time.
Yes, it is.
The devil is still in your joy. He's still in your time. He's stealing all the good that's in your life. That is not the will of God. Fear is not the will of God. You don't have to be that way. You can choose to believe the word of God. You can choose to believe that he's God. He's God, and he's bigger than all of us. There's an old song, bigger than all my problems, bigger than anything. I don't remember it all. He's bigger than any mountains that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all of that. The things that we see and the things that we can't see. He's bigger than all of that. He can do anything. So don't talk about the problem. Talk about God and how he's going to fix it. Then you're speaking in faith. You say, well, if I'm in doubt, can I really do that? Would I be being a hypocrite? No, you're speaking in faith. You know the word of God. You just got to ask God to heal your unbelief and heal your fear and to strengthen your faith. And we can do that. You know, the brain is a very complex organ, a very complex muscle. And don't speak negative in front of your brain.
That's really good. Great
tip. That was deep, huh? Don't speak negative in front of your brain, because your brain doesn't know when you're joking. It doesn't know when you're being sarcastic. It doesn't know whether you really believe what you're saying or not. Yeah, lots of studies on the brain. You can Google those and educate yourself. The brain is a very, very powerful thing. So you got to speak faith. You got to speak it when maybe in your heart of hearts you don't quite believe it yet. But you're going to say, God, I choose to believe. God, I it's hard for me, but Lord, I believe. I believe your word. I believe you're in charge. I believe you're big. I believe you're in control. And I know you're going to work it all out for our good. Amen. God is good. Don't spend time talking about your problem. Brag on God, because he's still a healer. He's still a miracle worker. He's still a way maker. Amen. And just because you're down and out doesn't mean your God is down and out. He's always up. He's always on top. He's always in control. And so choose to believe him. Choose to believe that he's still God. Choose to believe that he works for our good. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If your faith is weak, well, we need to get in the word.
Amen.
Oh, that hit some of us right there. You know? Oh, she's got faith. Oh, he's got faith. Well, you're saying you're not in the word enough. You'd have some more faith yourself, huh? So God help us. You know, maybe we need to be reminded to avail ourselves of the word. Come to church. You know, we hear the preached word of God. But you know what? Once a week's not enough to cover you 7 days of the week. You got to get in the word in between hearing the preached word of God. You got to read the word. You got to spend time in prayer. Don't miss a service, yes, but position yourself to hear the word of God. God can speak to you in your prayer time. You know?
He does.
He's never going to speak to you outside of the word of God. He's never going to contradict the word of God. He's not going to contradict the man of God in your life, but he will speak. So put yourself into an atmosphere. Carve out some time where it's just you and the Lord for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, 30 minutes, where you're not distracted by your phone. You turned it off. You left it in the other room. It's just you and God. And put yourself into an atmosphere where when God speaks, you can hear the voice of God. God speaks to his people. He still speaks to us. But oftentimes it's just like we're wearing a titanium helmet, because we're inside there trying to fix our problems. And so God's speaking to us and it's just bouncing off, you know, like bouncing off of a car roof. And we never hear what God has for us. His help, his strength, his encouragement, his peace. We're in there trying to figure it all out ourselves. We want to put ourselves into an atmosphere, open up an avenue of worship, an avenue of praise where God can minister into our hearts. And even in the midst of trials and tribulations and circumstances, we can have peace because we're reminded that he's bigger than all of those. Amen?
Amen.
Just keep believing. The Bible says everything, all things are possible to him that believes. So in the face of doubt, what are we going to do? We're going to believe. In the face of discouragement, we're going to believe. In the face of unbelief, in the face of doubt, we're going to believe. In the face of fear, we're going to believe. Some of you are getting it. In the face of affliction, in the face of disease, in the face of trials, in the face of money problems, in the face of doubters, we're going to believe. Because we know what the word says. We're going to put our faith and our trust in him. And Psalms chapter 4, verse 3 through 5 says, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Wow. That's a verse that makes us feel really good and really special, but it should also make you feel really small and insignificant. Know that the Lord has set him apart that is godly. Oh, so there's my focus again. That's what I need to focus on, is being right in the eyes of the Lord, being godly for him, making sure my heart is right toward him. Colon, the Lord will then hear when I call unto him. Verse 4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. The sacrifices of righteousness. And put your trust in the Lord. We get so distracted by life. It's easy to get our focus off of what really is important. You know, if we just focus on the Lord and on being pleasing to him, and living right before him. You know, it seems, you say, well, Brother Drossi, that just seems really simplistic, and the world is just a lot more complicated than that these days. No, you know, God hasn't changed. The problems today are not bigger than the problems 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago. He's still bigger than all of those problems. He's still bigger than all of those circumstances. If the musicians would come, maybe if you'll go ahead and stand. I want to read a couple more scriptures, but I'm closing quickly here. Psalm 73 and verse 26 says, my flesh and my heart faileth. He was afraid. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Amen.
God is the strength of my heart. He is my portion. I have him available for me when I choose to believe. Psalms 34 and 1, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know what? It should make it easier for us to praise. It should make it easier for us to worship him. Because I know how our minds work. We come to church and we see other people worshiping God and praising God, and we're thinking, well, man, it's really nice to see them worshiping and praising God. If they didn't have my problems, if they did have my problems, maybe they wouldn't be able to. No, that's not the case. It should allow you. It should make it more free, more easily available for you to worship and for you to praise God, to remember that God's bigger than all your problems. And you don't got to figure them out. You don't got to solve them. You don't got to know what comes tomorrow. You just got to know that God's still in control. My flesh and my heart faileth, he said, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I will bless the Lord at all times, 34 and 1. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In the last verse, Psalms 40 and verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. That's a testimony. When others can look at you and see you worshiping God and praising God and keeping your focus on God, even in the midst of life, even in the midst of wherever your circumstances might have you on a certain day. I choose to believe the word of God. I choose to believe the promises of God. I choose to believe that God is still big. He's still in control. He's still bigger than my problems and my circumstances.